97.5, The Fanatic.
Everybody out there, welcome into the 97.5 Fanatic Saturday morning show with myself, Jamie Lynch, and Andrew Salchunas. We got Dylan McKinnon helping out in here, and hopefully everybody's staying safe on there, out there on the roads, because the rain is nasty. And Andrew, no surprise, people suck at driving in the rain.
Yes.
Even coming in on 76 today, I was like, my goodness, I understand, but jamming on the brakes every 3 seconds is not helping anybody here.
See, I fortunately don't have that problem because I'm 2 minutes
76
away.
Is the worst. But happy Saturday morning to everybody. Looks like it's going to be a wet one up until later this evening. Hunker down and let's talk some sports. So, I've had Eagles on the mind a lot this week. And we are going to get into the Sixers. They have a huge game tonight versus the Lakers at home. Absolutely awesome. LeBron James could pass Kobe Bryant for third all-time in NBA scoring on the Wells Fargo Center floor, which is very cool.
Almost worth watching just for that.
Yeah.
Now, we're Sixers fans, so we're going to watch because the Sixers are playing. But if you're just an NBA fan, it's worth watching because this is a huge milestone.
Absolutely. And Kobe did say something the other day about honoring LeBron because it meant so much to him when MJ did it to him. So maybe Kobe's in the building tonight. We'll see.
Probably. Seeing his roots here in Philly. Why not?
Ben Simmons could be a little extra fired up maybe to try and hold LeBron under 18. That would be pretty cool to watch. So we'll see what happens.
He better be. No Jay Rich or Joel Embiid tonight.
Yeah, we'll get into all the Sixers stuff coming up throughout. I have a little bit of Philly's depression I want to air out with the Fanatic Baseball Show host here.
Why?
Because we're, 11 days from pitchers and catchers?
Yep. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that guy's gone.
So I want to touch on them quickly as well, but I've had the Eagles on my mind a lot this week as the offensive coordinator job hunt continues. And, just looking through some of the offseason, articles and cut cap structures and free agent lists and all of that this week. You can say this a lot about a lot of off seasons, but this off season right now coming up is going to dictate the course of the Philadelphia Eagles history for easily the next 4 or 5 years. It is a monumental off season because of what they have to do.
You're going 4 or 5 years this off season alone?
Yeah.
Explain. Because taken aback by that.
Because you have flexibility with money. You have aging veterans that you have to make really hard decisions with.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of draft capital. I believe it's 6 picks in the first 5 rounds.
Yeah, and 10 total.
And 10 total.
Which could be, you can move some of them, but we'll see.
So you have to nail it in the draft because you need young, cheap contributors to this team with Carson Wentz's contract going into effect next year. You need to kill it in the free agent game because you need to basically hit a near 2017 success rate of nailing everything you do. And they have some really tough questions in free agency. One, Malcolm Jenkins. I think that's going to be the toughest one for them. I think Jason Peters is all but written in stone. That's for Mr. Lurie to have that tough conversation with Jason.
Hey, that's his buddy.
Yeah, that's his good friend, Jason Peters. But Malcolm Jenkins, I think, is the toughest one they face.
It's funny. Sorry, the Peters thing. I've Jeff McClain, Tim McManus, those guys have been on with Anthony,
mm-hmm.
and both of them, and a lot of the reporters are saying they should bring Peters back for another year. Jeff McClain said that Dillard isn't 100% ready to play in the NFL, and I go, well, in the weeks that I saw him play,
I thought he played well.
I was angry when they put Jason Peters back in, but maybe Doug Peterson was seeing something different because remember during that press conference he said when Jason Peters is back and healthy, he's starting left tackle again.
Wow, that's weird because watching the film with Trey a little bit, during the season, Trey was pretty impressed by him.
Yeah, as was I, and I'm just me. I'm not Trey Thomas.
Trey happens to know the left tackle position fairly well.
Pretty well.
So that's surprising. But in terms of the importance of the offseason, you have to plug a lot of holes, get a lot younger and cheaper in certain spots, and stay competitive. Now, the Seahawks were able to do it because of Russell Wilson.
P. period.
You know,
yes.
There's different types of rebuilds in the NFL. Like what the San Francisco 49ers did was a complete overhaul, yes, top to bottom.
And it didn't. It also helped that Garoppolo tore his ACL last year,
yeah,
and then you finish with a pretty high draft pick.
Absolutely.
Which helped them out a lot.
But their rebuild was not having the quarterback at first,
right,
obtaining one via trade, which is very rare and uncommon in the NFL to trade a quarterback that becomes a franchise guy. And then, you know, they built through the draft, and they hit on a ton of monsters on that defensive line, mainly Nick Bosa,
right,
who's just ridiculous. So there's that type of rebuild. And then there's what the Eagles kind of have to do, which is the Seattle Seahawks model. You have the quarterback with the big cap hit coming. Now you need to build around him. And you need to get younger and cheaper in a lot of key areas so that you can afford that cap hit, which ends up being like 19% of your overall cap or whatever it is.
Yeah, and you have to get faster.
And you have to get
DK
a
Metcalf
lot
is
faster.
I feel like people forget how fast DK Metcalf is because we look at his size and how big he is, and we think of guys like Dorial Green Beckham, who was huge, but couldn't really run a route or run in general. Alshon Jeffrey, huge receiver, not the fastest receiver, especially not last year because he was basically running on one leg. DK Metcalf was running, what, a 4.4, 4.5,
yeah,
in the combine?
Yeah.
So you need to get faster to help out Carson Wentz, because this offense, as fun as it was down the stretch with Greg Ward and Deontay Burnett and all those guys, listen, you need a lot more.
So are you picking up what I'm saying here,
yes,
about the importance of this offseason? Because, I mean, when you go through the free agent list on this team, I mean, listen to some of these names. These are key contributors. Bradham, McLeod, Darby, Peters, Aguilar, Vin Curry, Timmy Jernigan. You know, these are some big, Jalen Mills. You know, Halapuluti Vadi Vaitai, Road Boulevard in some, I believe that's Samoan, because that's the old Vaisak Hema translation, Road Boulevard,
okay.
Yeah.
But there's
major decisions to make,
and then
you have to hit on the guys that you bring in.
Well, that's the key.
And that's where do you have the faith in Howie to do it? Because
you gave me, what, 10 names?
Yeah.
I'm moving on from like 7 of them.
Yeah, I think the majority of those are moved on from. But a guy like Rodney McLeod,
bye. I love Rodney, bye. I'm sorry.
But if Malcolm Jenkins is also gone,
I don't think Rodney McLeod is enough of a replacement. You would then need two safeties.
Well, yeah, and that's when you start getting into the news out there, like an Anthony Harris from Minnesota,
yeah,
whoever.
Or you look in-house, too. Do you potentially move Douglas to safety or Maddox
Avante
to safety?
Maddox, I think, is the guy they would do.
Heck, Jalen Mills played safety in college. I would keep him at corner. I don't think he'd be able to be
Avante
a safety.
Maddox played his best football for the Eagles as a safety.
As safety, yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, those are the things you have to consider. But you could potentially be facing an entire new secondary.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it is a good thing.
With the way the secondary's played the last 3 years, maybe that's a good thing.
But my question is, do you have... What is your confidence level, 1 to 100, that Howie Roseman will get it right this offseason? Then that includes the draft, re-signing, new signings, all of it. You know, camp bodies, depth, everything. Because this is a you're going to see probably 20 new faces, you know, maybe,
right,
out of a 53-man roster. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to look like an entirely new team last year. Carson Wentz is the constant that you build around now. And, you know, they took their crack with that roster at the Super Bowl window for 3 years there. They got 1 out of 3, which is great. Well,
day
I'll
one.
Take that. But now he has to repeat the offseason success of 2017.
Well,
and Jordan
thing.
Howard's another guy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of guys.
Like, my confidence since 2017 has dipped
in
Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
But if we're comparing it just to 2017, when he had a perfect offseason.
Literally,
right?
Perfect.
Perfect. Like
he batted 1,000.
He batted 1,000. He was 10 of 10, 100 of 100, you name it. So if we're comparing Howie Roseman to 2017, we're going to be disappointed every single year, because I can't see a GM batting 1,000, you just said,
no, but
again,
goes,
every single year.
If he goes 750, I think we'll all be very excited.
Then we're talking, and 750, okay, I can believe in Howie Roseman for something like that. Like, I remember a few weeks ago, we did the, on a scale of 0 to 10, where's your confidence level in Doug and Howie? And I still have Doug in, like, the 8 range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Howie,
yeah,
I was down to 6.7, so 6.5.
That's kind of, I'm like 7.
But
that was
fresh on my mind, because you just had a disappointing season with all the, there were so many injuries, but injuries are a part of it. Like Jason Peters going down is a part of it, because he's an aging player that you kept around. You kept a lot of aging players, and a lot of those aging players got hurt.
Yeah, it was a major part
yes.
of why this the last two seasons have been failures.
Right. But
ultimately,
at the same time, it's not Howie Roseman's fault that Malik Jackson, who never had been hurt in Jacksonville, gets hurt in what, the very first game of the season?
Not his
fault. You gave him $30 million for the next 3 years. So that's not Howie Roseman's fault. So I'm still like a six
but
and a
DeSean
half on
Jackson,
Howie.
You could say is.
Yes.
You know, you should have expected him to miss probably
a few
five to six games out of 16.
But I think they thought, here's the problem. They thought more of Nelson Agholor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside than what they should have.
Well, that's it, the issue. You know, I'm sure this is going to trigger Mike and KOP to call up. But the main concern with Howie right now is he can evaluate guys that already exist in the league.
Right.
Via trades. And most of the time his signings are pretty solid. The draft is what gives people concern.
Yeah, because you just hear it in his press conference at the end of the season. That was when the whole debacle, the Mike Groves coming back, and then the next day they fire
him.
That's that
part,
press
that's
conference.
Why that's been on my mind a lot this week, because you have teams, you have guys who should be chomping at the bit for the OC job with Carson Wentz, kind of being like, I'm good right now. I'm cool where I'm at. USC is pretty good. I'm in Southern California.
You think it has something to do with how that was handled?
I think the optics of that was really bad.
Oh, yeah, it looks bad.
For Doug. I think Doug stumbled over his own words a little bit in the press conference, and then Mr. Lurie pulled the rug out from under him the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think what Doug did was, like, you know, that bad. I think he was just goofing up and kind of talking out of his ass a little bit.
I thought it was pretty bad.
It was bad, but I don't think he meant
it. Bad because then he started getting angry because he knows he screwed up.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he went, shoot.
Yeah.
And
then the next day, Lori's like, they're gone. So
and
I think
somebody has to put out that statement from Doug.
Shoot him no more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just think the optics of that was a little off-putting. And I don't think enough of that was talked about. Like, we touched on it when it happened. But now, like, 2.5 weeks later, or whatever it's been, 3 weeks, I look back on that and I go, ugh. That wasn't
a good
look for Doug.
I don't think that's why somebody wouldn't want to come here.
No,
I think part of it is not being able to call plays because Doug Peterson's the play caller. But I also do understand this. Like, I understand the rhetoric of nobody wants to come here because they can't call plays. But then again, Frank Reich wasn't calling plays, and look, he's a head coach in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I don't buy that as a reason.
So like a year after they win the Super Bowl, he's a head coach somewhere, and he wasn't calling plays.
If you make Carson Wentz in the Eagles' offense a top three offense in the NFL, you're going to get a head coaching.
Yeah,
job.
Exactly.
People
are going to say, why did this team do so well? Let's look at the coaching staff who we can pick from.
So, you know, there's that. The offensive coordinator, I'm assuming they'll name one, but they're the only team in the league without one right now, which is a little weird. But it comes down to Howie in the draft this year. Do you have faith, more specifically, because he is pretty good with the free agents, in Howie nailing the draft? Because they have their own first, their own second, their own third. They're projected to get another third rounder in a compensatory pick. They have their own fourth, and then they're potentially getting two more compensatories in the fourth. So you talk about a draft that could rejuvenate the youth of a team. If you're able to hit on, let's say, really hit on two of those five, that is the quickest and easiest way. And when I say hit on, I don't mean contributors.
Yes.
I mean like an actual like rookie phenom.
Let's look at last season, right? You draft Andre Dillard knowing that he's not going to start the season.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going to be the backup. You draft Miles Sanders, you name him the starter, but you know that you're going to share a role with Jordan Howard, so you know he's not going to be the bell cow back, even though he ended up becoming it at the end of the season. You drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside knowing that he wasn't going to be on the field to start the season because he plays the same position as Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Now, that's a Howie mistake doing the whole Alshon Jeffrey contract debacle. But I look at this draft and I go, okay, Howie Roseman and the Eagles brass, they know that they need starters this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they drafted Sharif Miller last year in the fourth round because they needed depth to the defensive line. You already had Barnett, you already had Brandon Graham, but you needed to add depth.
Well, you're going to have to add depth to the defensive line again.
Yes, you do. But I think maybe, going into this draft, Howie goes, okay, I need starters, and I know that the league is changing. I know that we need speed at the wide receiver position. I know that we need a lockdown corner, and we have to figure out exactly who Jim Schwartz wants, because it looks like Jim Schwartz is coming back. You have to talk to him to see what kind of corner that he wants.
And
because
all the stories say he's got a lot of pull in that building.
Yeah, so you have to sit down and talk to him, because Ronald Darby cannot come back.
He's gone.
He cannot come back.
Jalen Mills, I wouldn't be surprised, comes back if the
numbers
are right.
Depends on the money. Exactly, depends on the money. money.
Yeah, he's kind of like a safety blanket in a weird way.
Like,
you know what I mean?
He's not a number one corner.
No.
He's been one of your better corners over the last couple of years, which is crazy to say, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a number one corner for most teams in the NFL. So he could be looking for a big payday at a team that's not going to win anything, or he could want to come back here to Philadelphia on a lesser deal and still be a starter.
Yeah,
he could be the one or two.
He's an interesting one to watch for sure. But they got to nail this draft. They really do. And there's reports out there that they're interested in cornerback Byron Jones, from the Dallas Cowboys.
That'd be nice.
Also, Chris Harris, the guy they were kind of tied to during the trade deadline era.
For the last 7 years.
Yeah. He's interesting, but he's getting older. I think he's 31 now.
So yeah, and the other thing, he's a slot corner more so.
Yeah,
so
he can do everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, he thrives in the slot. Byron Jones is 26, I believe, going to be close to 27.
I'd be okay with that. I mean, it's not too old.
No, but, you know, there's a lot. This Eagles team is going to look drastically different. And the question I have for people, because I've been thinking about it all week, you know, I knew the Saturday show was coming, and I started making notes, and I just kept coming back to Howie's offseason. I was like, man, I think there was a little bit of like a depression haze that set over us. You know, once the season ended.
And the Sixers were such a hot topic. And now that Embiid and Josh Richardson are out, it's not that we're not interested in them. It's we're not expecting the Sixers to go out there and blow out the Lakers by 20
points.
But
I'm damn excited for tonight.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. But you're missing two-fifths of your starting five right now. So, yeah, Sixers are not taking a back seat, but the Eagles are on the mind this morning. You're right, because
yeah.
I was thinking about them a lot the last 2 days.
I'm coming out of my post end of the season haze, and I'm starting to think like, all right, this offseason is going to be a lot of fun, and it better be fun. You better do. And look, we'll probably all like on paper the moves that they make, but that doesn't really mean much.
You know, last year, I thought they were going to the Super Bowl because of the paper, but it's already started. So Don Williams tweets in, he's got a zero on Howie's on
the
scale.
I think the right and left sides of Howie faith are going to be pretty drastic.
Yeah, he said Howie can't draft. He can't draft receivers or defensive backs, and he doesn't draft linebackers, even though linebacker is really not important anymore.
Yeah, but it's just an organizational thing that precedes Howie. They just haven't cared about linebackers for basically the Laurie era.
Yeah.
I mean, they were lucky they hit on such a great player in Jeremiah Trotter. Other than that, they really just don't put much capital in that position at all. But he is right, Don. I think Howie can draft. I think he can't draft wide receivers and cornerbacks. And guess what the biggest issue with this team is right now?
Wide receivers and cornerbacks.
Because of his inability to draft those positions. So look, they're doing some new things. You know, Connor Barwin's in there, an assistant to the GM. He worked with scouts all this year, trying to get ready for it. I like that. I like a new set of young, fresh eyes in there that actually played the game that can kind of be there to bounce things off of Howie. You know, it's something new. It's not too drastic, but, you know, we'll see. And look, the past couple drafts, there's a lot of Joe Douglas stink on those too. So another reason this offseason
is... genius, Joe Douglas.
Yeah, his drafts stunk. I mean, for the most part. Derek Barnett was supposed to be something much more than what he is, and that's another reason why. This is Howie, you know, he's free. This is a Howie offseason. There's no Joe Douglas. There's no battles with Chip Kelly and confusion about who's running the draft.
Right.
There's no Andy Reid, you know, Banner, Howie, you know, Coffee Boy, Eric. Like, this is Howie. And he's got to nail it. And I'm curious what people think out there.
I go, well, Doug may have some say, but then with everything that happened with Mike Groh, yeah. I don't know how much say he has.
Yeah. So, you know, the numbers are 610-632-0975. Do want to talk a little bit about the Eagles offseason, because I think it's a fascinating offseason. A lot of draft capital, man. You got to hit.
Yeah, you do.
And you got to hit at the positions you haven't been able to draft.
Before the show start, Jeff McClain always has on the Inquirer the stay or go.
Yeah.
I picked a lot of goes.
Yeah, I mean,
picked a lot of goes on this team.
Let's just run through them real quick here, because there are going to be, I think the majority of these are going to be goes. You got the list in front of you. Let's just rapid fire it out and see what your gut says.
Your quarterbacks, Wentz, Sudfeld, McCown. I said one stays.
Backup quarterback's going to be fascinating.
I can't see McCown playing another year. And Nate Sudfeld, what has he done? They've jumped him. Like, what, last 3 years now?
That was pretty weird. Marcus Mariota is backup?
Maybe. I don't know.
There's going to be some...
He wants to be a starter again.
Okay.
That means.
Good luck, buddy. I'm okay with Sudfeld being back, but I also wouldn't mind upgrading that job either.
Yeah. I would like a better backup.
Yeah.
But, okay, that's backup quarterbacks. Six running backs. Clement, Holyfield, Howard, Sanders, Scott, and Sproles. Sproles is already retiring, so he's gone.
I won't see him no more.
Clement, I'm sorry.
You can't rely on him.
I love you, man.
Yeah.
Bye.
You were great in the Super Bowl in that year.
I mean, I don't know anything about Elijah Holyfield.
He's slow as dirt. And
yeah. So,
got big muscles.
So, bye. So, that's...
He'll be a practice squad guy, probably.
Sanders and Scott, obvious keeps.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard, I put yes, but I don't know what his... Well, I don't know what his number's going to be. Yeah.
He might be a guy that might want to do the one-year prove-it deal.
Like what Darby did this past season.
Yeah, where you could get him at a decent enough number. Because I would like to keep those three. If I go in to a season with Sanders, Scott, and Howard, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, you're feeling pretty good. But
yeah.
But then now Jordan Howard has to know he's taking a back seat. Because Miles Sanders showed that he could be a number one back.
But I'd rather Sanders be a 17-18 touch-a-game guy than like a 25-a-touch-a-game
guy.
Yeah,
I agree. And you have that benefit if you do have a guy like Jordan Howard. So those are I kept those three running backs. Your wide receivers, Aguilar, Whiteside, Burnett, Davis. They have Ertz and Goddard as receivers. Shelton Gibson, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Perkins, Richard Rodgers, Greg Ward.
Greg Ward, I think, has earned the right to fight for the starter slot position.
All right, here, we'll go in order. Aguilar.
Bye.
Whiteside.
I mean, he's
got to stay.
He's staying.
Deontay Burnett.
He's got a right to compete.
I put yes, but if he goes, I'm not.
I'm not crying.
I was literally just doing depth. I was like, all right, I need to keep one. Because I said no to Robert Davis. I said no to Shelton Gibson.
Yeah. I mean, he did get signed like week, 14?
Yeah. Zach Ertz.
Yeah, he's obviously
which is
staying.
Going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
There's. I'm sure.
I think he's going to get locked up.
I'm sure trade talk is going to be.
I think they're going to restructure him.
Okay.
Because that's Carson Wentz's boy, man.
So is Dallas Goedert. He's staying.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, he's guaranteed to be here.
Alshon.
That's going to be interesting. I think they IR pup him. If they can find a team that's willing to trade for him, if you eat the majority of his $15 million cap hit, that's the most realistic way you could get out of it. But who the hell is going to trade for Alshon Jeffrey, who's likely to be out until October, maybe early November, with the Achilles.
Yeah, I put go.
At $15 million.
Damn, I'd cut him and lose money.
You're losing $26 million.
Yeah, I get it. The IR is cheaper. I'm just saying, like, I don't want him.
I hear you, but that $10 million in free agency.
Even if you IR him, he should live in California. As far away. And if the Eagles go out west to play a game, book him a plane ticket back here to Philly. Like, I want him to be on the other side of the country away from cars.
All right, we'll continue going through this list coming up next. AJ in West Philly wants to talk about the draft coming up for the Eagles. It's a monumental offseason for Howie. I've had Eagles on the mind all week. I've come out of the Eagles postseason depression cave, and I'm ready to get back to work here on next season.
But then again, I still want to talk Sixers.
Oh, we're absolutely going to talk Sixers.
Because of tonight's game.
It's a huge one. I haven't looked at the line yet. We'll dive into that coming up next. LeBron James could pass Kobe Bryant tonight with 18 points on the Wells Fargo Center floor for third all-time in NBA scoring. Me and Bob were going through this the other day. He's got a real chance to catch Kareem for number one.
How far off is he?
A little less than 5,000.
Yeah, he probably could because he's still in tremendous basketball shape.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably got two to three
more years of scoring dominance.
Yes.
And then if he can hang on for another three or four when Bronny Jr.'s in the league, he could be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
I tell you, I'm tired of ESPN already.
Bro, they're bastardizing Bronny Jr.
And now Zion.
It's bad. We'll get into all that. Zion had a block for the ages last night. 610-632-0975 are the numbers if you want to get in. A couple open lines. Let's talk some Eagles football. And not last season Eagles football. Let's talk about 2020 and what this team's going to look like. You're listening to Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 923.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in to the... A lot of people are saying we should call it the Bro and the Boomer. The Boomer and the Bro.
I like that.
Since you're a 25-year-old boomer.
Yeah, I like that. Chunas and the Bro is the other option.
Chunas. Welcome back in, Chunas and the Bro, Boomer Jamie, and the Bro. Jamie and Andrew. Saturday mornings with you. We're on till noon today.
I'm excited for this because, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I had a lot of fun doing post-game with you.
Right? Yeah, it was a good time.
But post-game is totally different.
So reactionary,
radio.
Yeah.
It's reactionary and it's to an extent serious, right? Like you have to, let's go to the press conference Carson Wentz is speaking now and we have to go through stats and we have to get Tim on. I love Tim, but all right, what's the injury status? And now this is like, you know, not that we're screwing around, but we have more freedom and more life to have a little fun doing the show.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it as well. We'll be on every Saturday from 8 or 9 to 12. So we'll have a good time.
Until they kick us off.
Until they tell us to stop. Every time I come into the building, I'm like, is my key card going to work today? This weekend's programming is brought to you by Turnersville Jeep. Visit TurnersvilleJeep.com now through January 31st for huge savings on 2020 Jeeps and Ram trucks. TurnersvilleJeep.com. Drive a little, save a lot. Hopefully everybody stays safe out there on the roads. When the rain starts coming down, the stupidity starts coming out of most drivers. So everybody look out for one another out there and don't be that guy. Don't be a Richard Head on the roads today. If you just missed the first segment, we're talking a lot about the monumental offseason for Howie Roseman and this Eagles team. I said it's going to shape the direction of this franchise for the next 4 or 5 years. I think it's that important of an offseason between the amount of picks you have, the amount of flexibility you have with upcoming money and decisions that need to be made on veterans, and this being a Howie Roseman offseason, I think this offseason is as important as of one that I can remember, honestly.
And they're all big.
But this, to me, a lot of things came into play, and the 3-4 window, you took a shot with that older roster to win the Super Bowl, is over. You're closing that window. You're opening a new one. So to me, it's monumental.
Like, it sounds drastic when you say it sets up the next 4 or 5 years,
but
right?
Think about it. Every contract you're going to sign.
But you're right. Like, because when you first said it, I was like, dude, really? Like, that's
crazy. It's not a hot take.
But then I go, the Carson Wentz money. But also, you look at guys like Jason Kelce, who it seems like he may come back again. But
yeah, his quotes the other day, we'll read them to
you. But after next season, could he disappear? And you're losing an all-pro, first-team center. Jason Peters is eventually going to go away. Fortunately, you already have the backup. Why are you doing that, man?
Come on, dude.
That was disgusting.
Well, you usually, behind the scenes real quick, there's a trash can over Andrew's left shoulder, and sometimes I throw scrap paper in it in program and usually try to swat it. That was one I blew my nose and I was throwing it over there, and I gave you the don't swat this one
look. Very distracting. Fortunately, I'll go right back to it. You already have Andre Dillard to replace Jason Peters.
I'm shocked that people think he's not ready to step in.
And it's like reporters.
A lot of people.
It's not just Jason Peters fans. It's reporters. And I go, okay, I must have been seeing something completely different with Andre Dillard because he looks pretty ready to step in. He looked rusty when he first went in when Jason Peters left whatever game that was.
Yeah.
Of
and
course.
Anybody would.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel good about the left tackle position. Lane Johnson, I know he's gotten banged up the last couple of seasons, but Lane Johnson is still one of the best right tackles in football. So I look at some of the positions where you are kind of set for those next 2 to 3, 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Like you do have a bit of a window still right now. It's a slight crack, but I get what you're saying that if you don't hit on your 10 draft picks that you have, and we're not saying 10 for 10,
but you got to hit on probably 4 of them.
Give me 4 that are either starters or when you say contributors, guys that are on the field 50% of the snaps, whether on offense or defense. So yeah, it is an important offseason because those guys are going to be getting rookie deals and a lot less money, whereas Carson's going to get paid a lot more money. And before you know it, a couple years are going to go like that. Miles Sanders is going to have to get paid, and other receivers are going to have to get paid. We'll find out what happens with Dallas Goedert and the Zach Ertz situation. Do they move on from Zach Ertz? Because eventually Dallas Goedert is going to get paid.
Oh, yeah. And Howie knew this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like he's very methodical with the way he maps out the cap and whatnot. And I'm sure he would tell you the Alshon restructure last year is probably one of the biggest regrets he has. But he knew that it was coming to this offseason. Because, and when we say the next 4 or 5 years, I mean, Andrew just went through it. Your rookies coming in are going to be on 4 and 5 year deals. Some of the free agents you sign are going to be signing those 3 to 5 year deals.
Right.
And the guys that are, you know, becoming your veterans on your team, your Brandon Grahams, your Lane Johnsons, your Kelseys, guys like that that you just went through, they're going to be coming up in that 3 to 5 year window. So you need a whole new pipeline, a whole new infrastructure of this team. And man, I have faith that Howie's going to do it. I do. Like, if you boil it down to just a yes or no answer, yes, I do believe Howie's going to right the ship this weekend. But there's a ton of people out there that don't have that faith.
But it's rightfully so, but it's also short-sighted because a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he was 10 for 10 in 2017. Well, yeah, if you're going to expect 10 for 10, batting 1,000 every
the
single year, you're going to be disappointed because he's never going to bat 1,000.
No, nobody does. And that was the anomaly of an offseason. But I do think he can get close. I think you just have to hit on your first two draft picks. Like, start there. And then I think they'll spend their money wisely in free agency.
Yeah, and every year there's the surprise cut, right? There's the surprise release from every single team. And we always say, oh, Eagles should go after them. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. So we'll see. Like you said, it's a fascinating offseason for the Eagles because there is so much to accomplish. There are so many draft picks. There are so many holes. There are so many concerns. Yeah. There's still some bright signs for the Eagles because you got Carson Wentz. You have Miles Sanders. It looks like you found a player in Greg Ward who shouldn't be your second or even third option on the offense, but at least you have a guy that you can depend on if somebody goes down or if you need a big play out of somebody on a third and short or a fourth and short and you need him in your slot. Yeah, he's out there. You found a player.
I like the ex-quarterback as wide receiver. I do. I just think, especially in the slot, because they think like a quarterback,
yeah, they
and they know what they're looking at. You know what I mean? They look at the defense like they're a quarterback. So if it's a zone, they know where the pockets are going to be.
Right.
You know, if it's a slant, they
but
know.
How many of those are out there?
Well, there's not a ton, but we potentially have one. And I'm not saying you pencil him in as your starting slot receiver and don't. You should bring somebody in to compete with him. But I like Greg Ward as a slot receiver.
Yeah,
I do.
I do too.
So we'll talk about that a lot today. 610-632-0975 are the numbers if you want to get in. AJ in West Philly wants to talk about the draft. What's up, AJ?
What's up, fellas? I thought y'all there?
Yeah.
What's up, AJ?
I thought I was the only one that was crazy enough to look at April's draft here in January.
No, it's been consuming me all week.
Look, they got a draft simulator online that simulates through the rounds. And you can see how it play out. When y'all was talking about, Howie and not going 10 for 10, if he would have just went with some of the consensus picks, like Dalvin Cook, we would have been cool. But, you know, some people try to be smart.
Well, the Vikings jumped the Eagles for Dalvin Cook.
We could have picked Dalvin Cook with our first round draft pick and had no problems.
Yeah, but nobody took Dalvin Cook in the first round, is all I'm saying. Like, he fell to the second round for a reason.
All of the players in college football right now, if you can identify one that's going to lead the league in rushing, lead the league in yards per catch, you pick them with your first round pick, man. You don't play around because another team might jump you getting, and now they got the league's leading rusher.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, like, that's not really how it works. If they speak to the other GMs, if they know that the guy's going to fall to the second round, and then they think they have an opportunity to get to him in the second round, they're going to do it, but they got jumped. I get what you're saying, but you could say that about any player. If there was a player that was drafted in the fourth round that had great numbers, could have said drafted in the first.
Let's deal with the ones that we know we're going to hit. You got it in the draft, be kind of crazy. It's cat poop. Listen, I'm drafting my whole draft around Henry Ruggs. When I said his name at first.
Yeah, he's going to be the name that comes up a lot.
Now, if we could get him, that's the player that's going to lead the league in something. He's going to do something and lead our team. That's a flat-out bonus.
So AJ, real quick, because the Eagles are drafting 21, most people are kind of projecting Ruggs because he's going to run that 4.28 or whatever at the combine. He's probably going to get up into that 14 to 19. range? Are you like him that much that you would trade to move up and get him?
Now, look, I'm not with, I don't want to trade anything because, like y'all said,
yeah,
you can slide the draft.
That's my concern, too.
Now, look, the contingency plan if Ruggs or Higgins is not there, you want to grab one of those safeties, the one from Alabama, or one of those corners. Even the one from LSU, Fulton. You make sure you get a corner and at least a safety. I like Antoine Winfield Jr. from Minnesota.
Yeah, he's a player.
We need to get a safety and a corner if we can't get that wide receiver. There's plenty of wide receivers and running backs to go later in the draft. But like y'all said, if you get these players right, we're looking at starters on offense and defense at the skill positions.
Yeah.
Safety, corner, wide receiver, running back. And that's going to set us up, like y'all said, for the rookie contract.
Yeah, absolutely. And AJ, thanks for the call, buddy. Good conversation. He's right. And when you, wide receiver especially, and that's why I want them to take that wide receiver in the first round. Have you looked at the NFL free agent list for wide receivers this offseason?
I'm actually looking at it right now.
It's not great.
There's a couple names.
I mean,
Amari
Cooper is the biggest name.
Right. But does he go back to Dallas? I don't know. They have to figure out Dak. I don't know. Does that mean Amari Cooper has a chance to come? And it, like, you look at the names, it's not number ones, right? Like, AJ Green's out there, but he's got the injury history.
You can't do
Amari
that.
Cooper's out there. But then you look at the rest, it's like, all right, I would like him for a third receiver. Like, I would like Emmanuel Sanders if it's like a short deal and you're not trading a second and a fifth or whatever it was that San Francisco gave up. There's a lot of nice names out there that would
but
be good.
But nothing that's going to completely alter your position.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to draft young speed. Like, I almost don't even want to look at the wide receivers in the free agent market
am,
but I don't want to because I want to be like, you know what, Howie, just focus on these names, and these are the wide receivers in the draft, and look at the 40 times and look at, and that's it. Look at the 40 times and look at their catch radius and whether or not it's good.
Yeah.
Because if they can't catch, then we already still have that issue here. And
so
if they can't run, we already have that issue here.
I want them to sign the D-back, get the sure thing there in free agency, whether it's a Byron Jones. Chris Harris interests me some, but, you know, if it's a shorter-term deal. And then get the wide receiver that's young and cheap in the draft and nail it. You have to get this pick right or, honestly, they're in trouble.
Use 4 or 5-year picks on receivers and just...
I want 2 of their first 4 picks being receivers.
All right. And hope.
And another one high one being the second round pick. We'll get into that and more. You're listening to the Boomer and the Bro, the Tunis and the Bro, Jamie.
Whatever you want.
Whatever the hell you want to call us. You're listening to us. We're until noon today.
I've heard a lot worse names thrown my way.
I like the guy calling your wife doll in your avatar.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's not creepy at all. You're listening to Andrew and Jamie. Time at the Fanatics, 9:41.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas. Happy Saturday morning to all out there. Stay safe on the roads. People drive like morons in the rain. That's my PSA for the day. You have to, when you're driving in conditions like this, you have to anticipate stupidity. If there was a, like, 16-year-old, like, Jenna Cooney just got her license. If I was giving Jenna Cooney advice on driving, the biggest thing I would say is anticipate stupidity.
Well, yeah, I did that.
Never trust anyone on the road.
I was, going down City Ave towards 76.
Yeah.
I was on the other side of the road yesterday.
Wait, what?
There was a car in the middle lane that was, like, broken down.
Oh, yeah.
And I
feel bad for those people.
As I was going down in the left lane, some J.O. decided, oh, let me try to get over real quick. So I slammed on my brakes, but because that's when it starts going downhill, my car was just moving forward still. So I noticed that nobody was coming from the other side. So I actually turned into the opposite side of City Ave coming back toward the station. And then the guy drove away. Like, it was nothing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, really?
That's just flat out stupid.
So the guy behind me let me, I drove right back over the median.
Wow.
I went all my way, coming back home.
Wow. And but you anticipated.
I anticipated stupidity.
It's the key to driving.
Yes. Speaking of.
Assume everyone around you is a moron.
Speaking of the Cooney household, he watch the movie yesterday and he wasn't happy about it?
Did he go to see 1917?
I don't know. I saw his Twitter all last night.
He watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, did he not like it?
He said, that's 2 hours and 40 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Ah, jeez.
I need a sporting event.
So he watched a movie he didn't like, so now he's not going to watch another movie for another 20 years.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was solid, not great. Did you see it?
Did I see it?
Of course you didn't. You're a boomer. Do you know they have this thing called...
Okay, boomer.
Yeah. Wait, what drop is that? They have this thing called On Demand now. You can just hit a button in your living room and boom, you can watch it on your TV.
Yeah, I don't have HBO or any of that stuff.
It's a rental.
I don't want to rent.
Why?
Let's go to Chuck and Dallas.
It's like $5.95.
Let's get it back to the Eagles.
Oh, jeez. Do you have Wi-Fi in your house?
Yeah.
That's good. What game console are you currently playing on?
Xbox 360. But it's not online.
Of course it's not.
Why?
Boomer. We're talking a lot about the Eagles today.
Leave me alone. 2K17, it's where it's at.
We're talking a lot about the Eagles and the monumental offseason. If you're just waking up, joining the show, I don't think anybody can disagree with how important this offseason is. We've laid it out. This offseason could, dictate the direction of this Eagles team for the next 4 to 5 years. So the question is, do you trust Howie to get it right? I'm known as a Howie guy. I'm firmly in that side of the camp. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do enough to have this team competitive enough to compete for the NFC again next year. And I know that's hot takey here on January 25th, but I think he's going to do it. I really do.
Yeah, the people that have no faith in him at all because of the last 2 years, all I keep on going back to is you're probably comparing to what he did 3 years ago. And yeah, you're going to be disappointed every year.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to hit it a 100% clip like
he
did.
No, nobody will.
But I still have faith. Have I lost faith? Yes. If you ask me 0 to 10, I'm in the 6.5 range, 6 range for Howie Roseman.
I'm a little bit higher, but not far off.
And I go, okay, he needs to show me something this year. And if he has another botched draft, which last draft wasn't botched, he got a future starting left tackle and the number one running back for your team.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Whiteside turns into.
Yeah, you can't write him off yet, but it was certainly...
He was behind Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake on the Eagles' part to draft the replacement of a guy who you then extend and make fully guaranteed. Yeah. And I go, okay, if you had that in your plans, why would you draft that player? Because you're going to basically waste him for 2 years. Last year was already year one of Whiteside's rookie contract. Yeah, he's not going to be here, right? But if he stayed healthy, this would be year two coming up with Whiteside that you would waste.
Yeah.
Because he'd still be behind Alshon.
If he had just simply drafted Metcalf or A.J. Brown, it's not an issue.
Exactly. And you have the speed that you needed.
Yeah. So we're talking to that a lot about that this morning. Let's go down to Dallas, talk to Chuck. What's going on, Chuck?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Yeah, so the wide receiver is definitely the most important position, but I have two names. You guys are speaking of Rugg from Alabama. Have you guys heard of Jalen Reagor from TCU?
I've heard of him, but to be honest with you, I didn't watch a lot of TCU this past year, so I can't say I'm up to date on him.
I'm thinking we need to draft up into the teens if we have to get a good receiver. I use Andy Reid as an example. He figured out something whereby when he drafted this the quarterback they have now out of, I think, Texas Tech or whatever.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
He traded up. I mean, he didn't sit there and wait for it to drop to him. He traded up. So he went speed for the last 2-3 years, and we need to do that. My other question is defensive end. What do we do? Like, are there any names in the draft?
That's going to be an interesting one as well, because Derek Barnett is going to be here again, but he has been, mildly... I don't think he's dressed. I'm not going to call him a bust.
He's been disappointing.
And
I don't like saying, oh my God, he's always hurt. Get on the field. But that is a disappointing part of it, is that he has been banged up. He's missed a lot of time. And that when you drafted him 14th overall, it's been a disappointment that he hasn't been able to stay on the field. And then when he hasn't made that much of an impact. Now, he was a part of one of the biggest plays in Eagles history, which was the strip sack from Brandon Graham, and Barnett recovered. But we can't just say, wow, Derek Barnett was a huge pick because of that one play.
Yeah, because Graham is getting older, and I would be all for trading Ertz for maybe a second and a fourth or a third and a fourth. You need picks, man. You got to get picks and get younger. Defensive end is definitely an issue. Nobody's speaking about it, and you only have maybe two or three high-level picks. I think we have a one and then two twos. And to get a good defensive end, you're going to have to draft into the first round. So I think I would definitely trade, Chuck,
and we appreciate the call. I don't see them going DN first round. I mean, Brandon Graham, even though I get what he's saying, he's getting up there in age. He had probably if not his best season, his second best season of his career this past year.
Yeah, Brandon Graham's really solid.
His best year was when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
His second best year was last year. So Brandon Graham is on one side. Barnett, I get it. There are concerns with Derek Barnett, but you have bigger needs right now than locking up another D end. Yes, you need to draft more depth.
They're not going to go one or your
first or second round pick for defensive end. I really hope not.
Yeah,
because if they did make that pick, I'd go.
Yeah, what?
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Plus, you also just traded for Jannard Avery, so is he a free agent or do you have one more year?
I think you have one more year.
So you got one more year of Jannard Avery, so at least you have some
Deshaun
depth there.
Deshaun Hall and Josh Sweat showed some flashes.
I mean, Hall got hurt, but he'll probably be back at some point next season.
I thought was pretty solid this year.
He made some huge plays down the stretch, especially in the Cowboys game. He had a nice play on Dak late in the third or fourth quarter. Yeah, guys like Vinnie Curry stepped up. I don't know if Vinnie Curry comes back.
If you can get him for the same money.
That minimum
like
deal,
that 2.22 million. I 100% am bringing Vinnie Curry back. We'll continue talking about that. Penn State kid's probably going to be like the second DN, Gross Mattis up there, Penn State. He's probably going to be the second DN taken off the board behind Brown from Auburn this year. It's not a rich DN.
Right.
It's a rich wide receiver draft.
It was supposed to be a rich defensive line draft last year, and they came away with Sharif Miller, who
is a project.
Didn't really dress.
Yeah. We'll continue talking about that. Do want to touch on the Sixers-Lakers game tonight. LeBron James with the possibility to move into third all-time. And we'll talk about the possibility of him possibly catching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the number one all-time NBA scorer. You're listening to Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 9:56.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.